Father, we thank you, Lord, for life. We thank you for a new day. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come to your house today. Dear God, I pray now you would meet with us in a very special way. Lord, as we focus upon a new thought today, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would enlighten us, encourage us, and direct us, dear God, in all that we say and all that we do. We're thankful we have the Word of God, Lord, to look at, to read, to study, and Lord, to get our spiritual food from, Lord, that we all need every day. Lord, that you might enhance us, Lord, to live for you. Thank you now, Father, for this gathering. Thank you, everyone here in this class, all the other classes that are here today. I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would have his way in each of our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's look in James chapter 1, verse number 19. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God, not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness of superfluity, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." We see here in this verses we read here from James, how James is trying to, again, direct us and help us with our life as we live for Christ. We see Christianity must be believed. Amen? To become a Christian, we must believe. But we also see it must be lived. Why would I become a Christian and not live like a Christian? What kind of influence would I have? What kind of bearing would I have on somebody else's life? Christianity is important. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's first and most important in our lives. But what good is that if it's not lived? If it's not lived. God wants us to be Christian, to live our life. In chapter 2 of James, verse number 14, the Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man shall, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Can faith save him? Now, we know faith is important to be saved, but it's not faith that saves us. It's the grace of God that saves us. It's faith in Christ that we receive him as our Savior, you see. So, what is the proof that our faith is real? What is the proof that I am a Christian? What is the proof that I am what I say I am? I think it's a changed life. A changed life. I'm grateful that when God saved me, he changed me. He changed me completely. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become what? New." All things become new. So we see here, the proof of our faith is real, is a changed life. A changed life. I don't want to do the things that I did when I was lost. I want to do things different in my life, you see. Genuine faith will produce good works. Genuine faith will produce good works. Turn back to Ephesians, please. Chapter 2. Genuine faith will produce good works. This is this theme of James, the epistle here, which he gives practical advice on living the Christian life. Genuine faith produces good works. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 8. It says, "For by grace are you what? Saved through what? Faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. No, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God saves us, okay? Notice verse 9, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. We're not saved by works, we're saved by grace, okay? Not of works, lest any man should boast. However, look at verse number 10. It says, for we that are saved, we are his what? Workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Good works. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we see that genuine faith will produce good works. It will produce good works. We see this. This epistle could be named or called How to Live the Christian Living. How to Live. It's a book it's a how-to book, if you please, on living the Christian life. We see here in these pages of these five chapters, we're going to be confronted, we're going to be challenged, and hopefully committed. Those three things. We're going to be confronted, we're going to be challenged, and we're going to be committed by the words of James to these Christians that have been scattered around and persecuted. We see James, we know, is the author of this book. We know James himself is Jesus' brother, literally his half-brother. We know that James was a leader in the Jerusalem church. There. We know his purpose in writing this book was to expose the wrong practices and teach Christians right behaviors, right behaviors. He wants us to understand right behaviors as a Christian. So he wrote to expose wrong practices and to teach right Christian behavior. That's the purpose of the book of James. We also see that James expressed concern for his persecuted Christians. He was very concerned of these Christians being persecuted, and he wanted to do something for them. So we see this is the book of James. Now, we know again that James himself was a son of Joseph and Mary after their marriage. James had three brothers and many sisters. We find that recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 55 and 56. He was raised in the home with Jesus. James was. He was exposed to him. But yet, James was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus, as long as Jesus lived in the home there, he was not a believer. He became a believer after the resurrection. He was a witness of Christ's resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 7. James was. And we see that because of that, now he became a Christian, and he also was the pillar of the church at Jerusalem. He was a stronghold in the church at Jerusalem. He was a faithful preacher of the Word of God. And he was, you know, a man of God, as you see there. In fact, he became known to those people as James the Just. He was called James the Just because of his strict following the law. James followed the law of God. It was his practice to do that every day, you see. He was a man also who believed in the power of God. James was a man of prayer. A man of prayer. He was called the man with camel's knees. The man with camel's knees because of him praying so much on his knees. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of power, of prayer. On the other hand, we also see that James was martyred cruelly. He was martyred by the scribes and Pharisees at the end of his life, who cast him from the pinnacle of the temple, which didn't kill him, but then they stoned him to death. They literally stoned James to death after they kissed him out of the temple, you see. So James, we see here, is a mighty worker in the Word of God. Again, he wrote to the Jews, a Jew himself, and trying to help them as they were being persecuted. James is thought to be the first of the New Testament to be written around 50 A.D., the book of James. We also see that he was presented with here he presents Christian works to us, not as the grounds of salvation, but as a test of the genuine Christian. The genuine Christian. We're not saved by works. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. But works are a test of the genuineness of our Christianity. Are we saved? Are we saved? So we see here, James is writing here about this. Now, this book that he wrote and gave to us, we see that it's got a lot of hard, not practical religion in it. In other words, it tells us some things that we ought to do that we're maybe not doing. He's up front. He's practical, you see. Each chapter, there's five chapters in the book of James, and we see each chapter is packed with illustrations and reminders for us as believers as how to live the Christian life. How to live the Christian life. We're all saved by God's grace. Now, how are we to live? How are we to live the Christian life? We see here he reminds us to motivate the wills and the hearts of believers. James was a motivator of believers. And our hearts and our wills need to be motivated sometimes, do they not? Because of the things we're in. He also reminds us to get hold of the truth once taught by Jesus. In Matthew chapter number 12, verse 33, Jesus says this, "A tree is known by its fruit." Amen to that. A tree is known by its fruit. A Christian is known by his behavior, by his living, the way he lives his life. Therefore, we find this epistle of James is compact with all practical religion, how we ought to live and how we ought to live. James himself believes that the test of true religion is in the doing, not in the hearing and the speaking, but it's in the doing in our lives. This is true religion, you see. And he also exalts the genuineness of faith and to encourage the lowly, that God gives grace. God gives grace to the humble. Aren't you glad for that? I'm thankful for God's grace today, folks. I really am. He also gives wisdom to the unlearned. God gives wisdom to the unlearned. He also gives salvation to the sinner. I'm most thankful for that. As a sinner, to be saved by the grace of God, you see. And he also gives the kingdom to the poor. The kingdom to the poor. No matter how rich we are, folks, in this world, how poor we are, as a child of God, one day we're going to reign with him in that wonderful place that he has prepared for us. That's a blessing to know that. It really is, you see. We also see that James, equally, he also condemns counterfeit religion, false religion. Things that are not like it ought to be. They substitute theory for practice. James believes in living who you are. Living who you are. He tells us that in doing the right thing, we should do it in everyday affairs of our life as a Christian. Every day. This is the sign of a true Christian. A born-again believer. You see, true religion is also moral and social also. So James here is going to be encouraging us, hopefully, as he did these people, about Christian living. Christian living, our lives. We find several themes in the book of James. First of all, we find the living faith. Living faith. Genuine faith transforms lives. Genuine faith transforms lives. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how someone, nobody can ever call upon the Lord in sincerity and ask him to forgive them their sins and come into their heart and save them and not be changed. I'm glad that he changes us. He changes us from within. You see, genuine faith will transform our lives. Living faith. Is my faith living or is my faith dead? Living faith. Believers are not only to hear the truth, but also to what? To do it. To do it. It's easy to hear, but it's more harder to do it. To do the truth of the Word of God, what the Word of God tells us to do. Living by faith makes a difference. living by faith makes a difference in your life and in my life, you see. True faith will produce loving actions towards other people. Living faith will do that. We need, as a believer today, to seek ways of putting your faith to work. How can I put my faith to work? I'm a believer. I trust in Christ as my Savior. Now, how am I going to put my faith in Christ to work? It's very important that we put it to work, you see. Because, again, genuine faith transforms lives. Transforms life. Not only are we going to look at living by living faith in James, we're going to look at also trials. Trials in our life. It is possible to profit from trials, folks. It is possible to profit from trials that we go through in our life. Whatever they may be, even today, trials in our life, God is trying to teach us something to benefit us and to glorify Him. And every trial we go through in our life, we're going to be looking at these things, you see. Overcoming adversities produce maturity in our life as a Christian and also strong character. Strong character. That's the way we grow. If we didn't have trials or testing in our life, we would not grow. We just go along as everything is, you know, easy. But when things begin to get hard, then we begin to seek the Lord and ask His help to show us what's going on in our life, you see. So we're going to be looking at trials. Don't resent troubles when they come. Don't get mad with God when they come. And by the way, they will come. They will come in our life. The main thing is, do not resent them. Do not blame God. We need to pray for wisdom when they come. Pray for wisdom, you see. Turn our hardships into a time of learning. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I want to learn something through this trial that I'm going through, you see. God wants to teach us that our faith, our genuine faith, may transform lives. See, when you go through hardships, or I go through hardships or things in our life, and we see God, how He miraculously helps us get through that. If you're not careful, we're going to find somebody later in our life that's going through a similar situation. And because God gave us comfort, He wants us to comfort them because of His comfort to us. So we see that trials, it's possible to profit from them in our life. We need to be aware of that. He'll give us patience, and He'll keep us strong if we endure. We endure. By the way, there's a crown also for those that endure temptation, the crown of life. The Bible tells us that. Also, we find in the book of James, the law of love. The law of love. This is a hard law, folks. You know, have you ever heard someone say this is tough love? Tough love? Well, the law of love. We are to love and to serve those around us every day in our life. And we see we are overcoming ourselves when we do this. We're overcoming selfishness, I should say, when we learn to love others around us. Get away from being selfish and what I want, what I'm going to do. Also, we're going to see in the book of James, wise speech. Wise speech. We see wisdom shows itself. You know how it shows itself? In speech. The way we talk. Wisdom shows itself in speech. With the wisdom of God helps control the tongue and also our actions. The wisdom of God. We also see accepting God's wisdom will affect your speech. It will affect the way you talk. Accepting the wisdom of God. Your word will convey true humility. Your words and my words will convey true humility and also peace to people. So we're going to be talking about wise speech. We're going to talk about living faith, about trials, the law of love. And the last but not least, we're going to be talking about wealth. James talks about wealth. The glory of wealth fades. the glory or wealth fades away. Christians are not to compromise with worldly attributes about wealth. We're not to compromise. We're not to do this. There are two things we should do concerning wealth. We should not be impressed by the wealthy, first of all. Do not be impressed by the wealthy or look down on the poor. Or look down on the poor. So we're going to be looking at these things in the book of James as we continue here and look at this study today. Now, the theme is Christian living. Christian living. How to live as a Christian. I don't know about you, but I need improvement in my life as a Christian. How to live. Because we go through things in life that really upset us, hurt us in life. Things that we face, we don't know what to do with. But as we look through these chapters here, first of all, in chapter number one, next week we're going to be talking about Christian living is a subject of the Scriptures. We find in the Scriptures how to live as a Christian. This is where we're going to learn how to live as a Christian, is in the Scriptures that God gives us. And we find this in chapter number one, of the book of James. Also, we're going to see that Christian living demonstrates its faith by works. Christian living demonstrates its faith by works. Things that we do demonstrate the fact that we are Christian, that we are Christian. Things that we don't do, also things that we should not do. Also, we see in chapter number three how Christian living provides correction for the evil of the tongue. Christian living provides correction for the evil of the tongue that we have in our mouth. Also in chapter 4, we find that Christian living secures a victory over Satan. Aren't you glad that we can have victory over Satan? Even in this life that we're living in. Oh, we're going to be knocked down, but thank God we're not knocked out. Amen? We can get up and go again. You see? And try to get our lives right with God and rise our lives right with somebody else and go on living this Christian life that God wants us to live. So we see here that we're going to find this in these verses. We also see in chapter 5, Christian living is sustained by the Lord's return. What motivates us to live for Christ is to realize that Jesus is coming one day. He's coming one day. You know, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. And I look forward to his return one day. And I know you do as a believer. Because, you know, this life as a Christian doesn't offer a whole lot, does it? But life over there offers everything. Life over there offers everything that we need to live for him and to serve him. So we're going to be talking about characteristics of the Christian life. We also see in chapter number one, chapter number two, how he exhorts Christians to act justly in society. He gives instructions on how we are to act in society. Where we go, where we live every day, how we're to act. This book is a how-to book, how-to Christian living. James is trying to encourage us and teach us and help us. He also follows with the relationship between faith and action. What's the relationship between our faith and our action? In chapter number two, we're going to find about that. We also see the importance of controlling our speech. How important it is to control our speech. You know the old saying, be sure your mind's in gear before your tongue starts flapping. That is so true. God can control our speech if we'll let him. If we'll let him, you know. Sometimes we say things we don't mean. We just say it to say it, you know, to get it out, so to speak, you see. We also see that James discusses two kinds of wisdom, earthly and heavenly. Earthly and heavenly wisdom. He talks about that. We also see that he encourages readers to turn from evil desires and to obey God. Turn from evil desires and obey God. You know, the world today will get you. You know that? Things in this world will get you. There's so much out there to offer us today. James here is trying to encourage us as believers to turn from evil desires and obey God. Obey God. When we obey, when we turn to evil desires, we are yielding to the flesh. We're letting the flesh have its way. And the Bible tells us, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's walking in the Spirit, see, that enables us to do that. Also, we see that James reproves those who trust in their own plans and their possessions. People that trust in themselves. Went to a house this past week. Knocked on the door. A lady came to the door. We introduced ourselves to her. And she says, I have my own religion. I have my own religion. I'm okay. She shut the door. I wonder what her own religion was. I didn't have time to ask her because she shut the door. But I wanted to ask her, what is your own religion? You know, quote, religion, if you use it, that word, I may understand. But salvation is not, you see. He encourages us. He exhorts us as readers to be patient with each other. Patient with each other. Oh, may God help me to be more patient with people. We also see that he exhorts his readers here to be straightforward in their problems. That is, bring your problems to the Lord. Bring your burdens to the Lord, as the songwriter said it, and leave them there. Leave them there. God is going to be the one that's going to finally help you and help me with the burdens that we have in our life. The pain that we're enduring. God will help us. God will help us. Thank God for people to pray for us. Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us and try to show us things that have helped them. But at the very end, it's going to be God that helps us. And God will use people to help us too. He will use people to help us too, you see. He also exhorts his readers to pray for one another. I'm convinced in my life that the most important thing that we can do for one another as Christians is to pray. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. We don't know what we're going through, each one of us, but all of us are going through something in our life. And the best thing we can do for one another is to pray. Ask God to help each other and to encourage one another. He also exhorts his readers to help one another to remain faithful to God, to be faithful to God. You know, we need to try to encourage those that are out to come back, to be faithful to God. I'm afraid sometimes we drop the ball. We don't look around us and say, who's missing? And give them a call. Send them a card. Do something to encourage them to be faithful. Because, you know, it don't take much to miss church. It don't take church much to miss Sunday school. It don't take much to miss out on Wednesday night. Normally when people start missing, it's on a Wednesday night. It's a Wednesday night. Then it ain't long, it's going to be Sunday morning. Then it ain't long, they're going to be out. We need to encourage one another to be faithful. To be faithful, you see. So, what we're looking forward to is Christian living as James instructs us. Next week, we're going to talk about chapter number one. What a Christian has. The confidence standing we have. We're going to be talking about that. I trust that God will enable us as his children to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the book of James. And realize that, you know, God gives us instruction in his book on Christian living. We have the word. Now, when the word comes to us, it's up to us to obey it or disobey it. And because of that, that will be the consequence of our living as a Christian and how effective we are in this world in which we live and telling others about Christ. You know, I would that I were a stronger Christian than I want to be. And I know by the grace of God, I am what I am. But I'm not through yet. I want to be a lot better than what I am. I really do. I want to learn how to live my life as a Christian. And we're going to get instruction from James. Read the book of James. You can read the whole book in probably 30 minutes. But read it, digest it, and we're going to go through it this quarter and see how God can give us instruction on our life and living a Christian life. God wants us to be the best for Him. You know that? And I want to be the best for Him, don't you? May God help us and give us instruction and wisdom as we go through this study together. Father, Lord, I want to thank You today for life. I want to thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for James. I thank You, Lord, for the life that he lived. And God, I just pray, God, today as we look at his life and look at the words that he gave out to these Christians that were being persecuted, Lord, may it be words to help us, even as your children today. But we're living in a world that is wicked, yet, Lord, we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. And God, that is to honor you. So, Father, help us to grow. Lord, help us to, as we look at James and his life and his teachings, Lord, may we apply these truths to our own life. Lord, that we might be what you want us to bring glory to you. Father, bless each one here today. Encourage our hearts today from your word as we read it, as we study together. Bless the next service. Have your will and way in everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.